Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all, this is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore, you've been waiting at the door, and it's time to.
You bitch, Red Rider, it totally is time to open. You're listening to Waking Up in America. This is the, we're tailing off the end of our 32nd year on radio here. And the month of December starts tomorrow. How about that? So if you're listening, that's the anchor point that you can tie yourself to, is that this is November 30th. It's one of the most exciting times to be alive here on planet Earth. And one of the sweetest things that's happening, you American state nationals, you, there's a lot of privileges that American state nationals have that have been kept from you. We'll talk about those on another show I'm working to get Anavon Rights on again. There's an American national, state national movement that actually is paying off houses and two or three bills if you're an American state national and you put it in. Well, I am an American state national, but I am not about to pay Deutsche Bank a cent. Not a cent. I'm actually one to watch them just squiggle and worm and be incredibly uncomfortable because this bank has been responsible for more criminality, subtle criminality than the Nazis pulled out. The Nazis, at least you could see the bodies lying in the trenches. The Deutsche Bank, you don't see the bodies lying in the trenches. You see them in the street under tents trying to actually make their way in the world because they had their houses stolen or their apartments stolen or something of that nature. And Deutsche Bank, it's all at your feet. And I'm not giving up until your feet are in shackles, okay? So, gee, I do seem to be a little emotional this morning, don't I, about Deutsche Bank, Randy?
You are. I would not want to be Deutsche Bank.
Well, here's what I didn't tell you. When I was in court with the buggers, I actually had... I didn't like it at the time, but in hindsight, I like who I was a lot, okay? So I was in court Wednesday, 8:30 a.m. in the morning, rainy day, Santa Monica. I had been pulled in again on an unlawful detainer after 12 years, 7 years past the expiration date, and I'm sitting in the hallway, and there's this attorney who made a mistake by talking about me in the hallway.
They do that.
They do that. Thank God they do that, because I actually reported it to the judge, and Randy suggested, and a couple of other... Let's just say that I'm going to turn the guy into the Bar Association. And he actually admitted in court, by the way, Randy, that he had said those things. So if Judge Chu has recordings, and I'll bet you he does because he's an honest judge, I can tell, then perhaps we can get this bum's, this big thieving bum's bar card. What do you think?
I totally believe from the story that you told me of what he said out in the hallway that he is, everyone needs to look this up, a POS. I can't say the last word, but what he said.
A piece of poo-poo. He's a piece of poo-poo. He's a POP, a piece of poo-poo. You can say that.
Just so not a good person, literally. I mean, you can be in a career and just not be a monster, and especially like to talk the way he talked, and you can say what he said, but
okay,
to say
I will.
That out in the open is obnoxious and a disgrace to his field.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear another opinion. I thought something similar, right? But not quite as elegantly as Randy is expressing it. What he said out in the hallway, and I'm sitting there, mind you, I've driven through the rain to get to the courthouse. It's the day before Thanksgiving. Everybody wants to get out of there. And I am, like, really upset about the whole thing that it's even gone on this long. I think that my astrology is good and that they should just give me the house after 12 years because the statute of limitations had run out. They didn't have the right to foreclose. They separated the note and the deed. It's ad infinitum, all the things that they did and didn't do that they needed to do, okay? One of them was to not make derivatives in the first place, because the moment you separate the note and the deed, that gives you permission to make a derivative. And then they start selling the derivatives, and then they start lying about it. And derivatives are when you separate the note and the deed, there's a California law in place, not a just law, not a moral law, but a California law in place that says if you ask for an original is the first copy of an authentic or genuine document. That is another pile of poo-poo. Okay. Because what that law does is it gives them the ability to claim that they have the original. They don't have the original. They have the first copy of an original. Most people don't know that. That's true in California. Most people don't know that bill collectors have no right to foreclose. So all these bill collectors that are running around foreclosing on you, zero right to do that. And I just use the word corruption within certain attorneys and lawyers that actually let this be a runaway thing. At the Santa Monica courthouse, I'm not going to mention the judge's name, really, as far as I'm concerned, should do like 20 years in the pen. But that judge lined up with Paul Wall, actually steal my house. And it wasn't recorded because when I went, and I was so happy when they did it because I thought I would just get the recordings and I would prove, I would actually be able to prove that they had, sandbagged me. It would have shown up on the recordings, but there were no recordings. So I was denied due process without recording 7 years after the expiration date with an original note that wasn't an original. They had no genuine note. Did that come up clear enough, Randy?
Yes. And that's the new scam, that's come around for the last few years. Not every courtroom does it, but now the bigger ones, like where you went, they're not putting recordings on. But they have
some of them are and some of them aren't.
Going.
What I found out.
I mean, think about it. We're in a society where there's a camera on every street. They're putting voice recorders everywhere, but they don't have it in a courtroom of all the places where so much important information is being passed back and forth. They don't have it there.
Yeah, but what I had was a letter from the head of the Santa Monica courthouse, a woman whose name I will not mention, but I will at some point if you ask me to and give me a couple of drinks. The Santa Monica courthouse. I'll have a whiskey sour. I haven't had one of those in years. Thank you. Randy and I are sitting at the bar. I've come to visit her in Miami, and I occasionally will have a drink I haven't had in years just for the heck of it to see why I liked it. By the way, I think I would like a whiskey sour. Because the whole thing is rather sweet and sour to me about how this whole little thing has been working here. And the deal is, that the judge that runs the Santa Monica courthouse wrote me a letter telling me that she had talked to this particular judge and she knew he never would have done anything like that. Do you know what that is?
No, tell me.
That's hearsay with a gold letterhead.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I heard Jim laugh. Right, Jim?
Right.
So not only that, and I handed it. That was the thing. I actually went around the end of the table. They handed it to the judge, and I honestly had never tried to hand anything to the judge before. So I had no idea that there was this danger zone, of which the whole courtroom electrifies if you take two steps into this zone. The result was so shocking. It was like, imagine a bomb going off with bombs and whistles and the whole building vibrating because everybody was synchronized to the second. No! And they put their hands out like I was going to attack them with a bomb or something. Well, I stepped back really quickly. I wasn't quite sure what was going on. And the moment I did, the whole thing diffused. But what I think the shock actually did for me, when I got back, I turned around and I looked at that Deutsche Bank attorney and I said, "You're going down, buddy. You are going down. I have had enough of you." And the judge smiled. Then everything was quiet for a moment. And I said, "Furthermore, this is my last appearance, and this is what I had forgot to tell you, Randy, as a pro se in this court, in this courthouse. I said this morning, and or yesterday, and I did too, I said, I called Devin Nunes' office. He's friends with Trey Gowdy. And I called and asked Trey Gowdy and Devin Noonan to represent me in a class action suit against Deutsche Bank, and I want to see this guy in jail.
Awesome.
I thought so. The interesting thing was is that I was so off script in my own mind that I got messed up and thought that I had actually messed it up. I hadn't. Mm-hmm. I had actually, I believe I scared the guy to the point that he had, hot stuff in his pants.
Mm.
How's that for getting around it? So,
hilarious.
Anyway, I wanted you, that's what I hadn't told you this morning, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and I totally will do that. And I totally did leave a message at Devin Nunes' office. He's actually our councilman, actually a really sharp councilman. If anybody watched the impeachment proceedings at all, and I did because I wanted to see how Adam Schiff was going to run things. First of all, he's a dictator and a tyrant, and America got a chance to see that when he shut everybody up and kept lecturing and doing his own thing. But who was really great was Devin Nunes. Who was really great was good old Trey on Fox News. And then I remembered that the radio station I first got started on was KFOX in Redondo Beach. Don't you think that's funny?
It is.
So I've been part of the Fox conversation for years without even realizing it. And next year will be our 33rd year in radio. And I originally, in a moment of shaken wonder, called Jim and said, you know, I need to know what to do because the pressure is so great. I'm actually thinking of getting off the radio just to relieve some of this tension for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time I had gone through that whole conversation and found out that Jane Fonda had been arrested for war crimes and that the prime minister of Iraq had stepped down and that Trump had actually gone over there and celebrated with the troops, I realized this wasn't a time to leave. This was a time to actually dig in and celebrate. So I called Jim Marshall yesterday because in my 32 years so far of radio, nothing was ever more fun than when Jim Marshall was on it. And Jonathan Granoff, who I just reconnected with in Mexico last month, in the Yucatan, at the for the peace meeting. It was him that Jim was talking to 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, where's Jim Marshall? Jim Marshall.
Gotta have him on.
He's not under the house. He's been hanging out in the park, okay? That's what he's done this time. So with that, Mr. Marshall, astrologer, Sherlock, I just love you so much, and I am so excited. And you can do whatever you want, and we'll make sure that you can do whatever you want, because Jim's, he just doesn't go down any tunnels. He may go under a house or two to seek solace, or he may end up on the beach doing astrology. But Jim does his life his way, and that's why he's so valuable. And Jim, I was wondering if you could share with our listeners the astrology that you came up with for me today.
Okay, but let me preface what you just said by a lyric from a song. I did it my way.
And he used to hum that all the time, too.
And I say to myself, should I have really done it my way?
Well, no, you did what you did. We do what we have to do to get to where our souls have promised to be, okay? One of the things I think our listeners really need, when you're too afraid, you forget where your soul promised to be. When you do it your way and you take life as it comes, your soul gets exactly what it needs to do, exactly what it has to do.
Well, I totally agree with that, and that has led me on my path, my particular path, my decisions. I haven't run from the hard aspects of life. I've kind of thrown myself into them because I'm of the philosophy that that's where soul growth can come. You know, when life's too easy, why should we look for something beyond ourselves, you know?
It's yeah,
kind of hard
I do.
That we say we look up to the sky, yeah, you know, and within ourselves. So, you know, I'm just a regular guy, but that's how I've done it. And thank you for inviting me on your show. You called.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say something else because you reminded me of it when you were just talking. Uh-huh. You were actually my inspiration for standing up to these people because this guy with his beautiful clothing that was fading at the beach was living in an ocean view apartment that these buggers were trying to gentrify.
It was Venice Beach. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Jim says, I don't think so. And how long did you hold off the buggers? Like 2 or 3 years?
Well, I was just asking, let's make a deal and everything, you know, help me get to my next stop. And they were just, they had kicked everyone else out, so they thought they could just kick me out.
Right.
And I, you know, I have a law degree. And so I told them, I don't think so. I don't think you're going to kick me out.
Oh, that's one of the threats I made.
Yeah.
That was one of the threats I made to the guy in court. I said, you think you're just, you said in the hallway that you were going to wipe the slate clean. Well, I'm not wiping so easily, am I? And that was fun.
Yeah. Well, they told me, we're going to get our Beverly Hills lawyer on you, lawyers. So why don't you just surrender? So I have my own lawyer, which was me. And so I said, okay. And so I lasted there free rent. I was willing to make a deal and pay him or something, but I ended up doing it. You know, they wanted to play it that way. So I got a year's free rent, and then they paid me money at the end. So that's my story.
Oh, I didn't know they paid you, too. Good for you. That's even better.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the judge finally got so exasperated. He said, you guys get out in the hallway there and make a deal. Get this thing off my slate here. So they had to go my way, you know. So I made a fair deal with them. I didn't want to, you know, take advantage and, you know.
You didn't want to take advantage. I'm sorry. If I'd been there, I might have coached you to take advantage of them. How could you take advantage of people that are being criminals?
Yeah, your astrology chart right now. Well, yeah, so we have a similar thing, only your thing was a house. Mine was a rental, and I came out pretty good there. But your chart right now, and having not talked to you for a long time, your chart indicates that you would be very optimistic right now. And in my talking to you in a few minutes this morning, you are very optimistic. And you're going to win some and you're going to lose some right now. It's not going to totally go your way, but your chart also in. Is it okay if I segue right into your chart?
Oh, please, go for it.
Yeah, definitely want to hear this.
In a quick look this morning, since I haven't had much time to look at your chart here, I've just intuitively picked up whatever my brain was picking up to say, you know?
Yeah, so I totally trust you.
Yeah, so I looked into your progressions, aspects and everything for this year. And it shows that there's a new direction, a major change in the course of your life right now. And when I heard you were speaking earlier about radio and your plans, your possible plans, yeah, there is a change coming. But your instincts are really highly attuned right now. You have the moon going over your midheaven, and new realizations are coming to you every day. For instance, when you were in the hallway and you heard that person speaking about your case, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and the realization you had from that, oh, this is what's going on. Well, you're in that center of that right now in your chart. Stuff just coming out of the blue that you can figure out and can be helpful to you. Your midheaven is being trined by Mars. And the fight is in you. You've always had fights, but particularly in this phase of your life, you're loading up, you know, with all your knowledge and whatever, and you're not gonna you don't let people push you around, but you're really ready for the fight, and to the point of being overly contentious. So if I needed somebody to fight for me right now, you come there ready with your
glass. I become the one, and I'm telling you, I'm taking something called euphoria, and euphoria makes me dauntless, okay? I would have actually been depressed if I wasn't doing this, but I was guided by, do you remember Beverly Brooke Peterson?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she turned me on to euphoria.
Well, we'll have to talk more about that. I like
that. Well, you bet, because euphoria, and I really want our listeners just to hear this, it's a plug right now in a way, the euphoria took me out of the depression. Depression and stuff like that is biochemical, Jim. So part of what astrology charts are conversations on our biochemistry. And if you can alter your biochemistry, you can actually step out of your chart. Valerie Hunt, professor emeritus from UCLA, actually told me that I not only was doing that I did do that. So she said astrology charts are to give you your lessons, to let you know what it is you're supposed to work on. So I'm offering all of that to you. I am a Leo Iron Dragon, okay? And that means a lot of the stuff that Jim is saying, but at the same time, I do things for the people. Does it say that in there anywhere?
Well, does it say something in there? The very next sentence I'm going to do in your chart says all of that. What my intuition did was look at a kind of general flavor of how you're feeling right now and where you're at and the possibilities. And then I looked at your natal chart. And for your listeners, I thought to myself, I'm going to talk about a couple of these aspects quickly, which sum up your whole personality. And I'm going to quickly say this, not that the listeners will remember this, but this is how an astrologer works. I'm looking at your chart. I see you got Gemini rising with Uranus, the planet of electricity and sudden change, on your rising sign, trining.
And the electricity of sudden what?
It's on your rising sign, so it gives you an electric personality.
Oh, got it.
But it means that you're a futuristic person. You're a fighter for causes, and you can't be contained.
As we found out, huh?
We'll put boundaries around you.
Well, actually, one person can, and that's me.
Well, yes.
And that's true of all people. I just wanted to throw that in there because that's part of stepping out of your chart if you realize that you're the one that is creating your own boundaries.
Yes. And, oh, what a creator you are. Your house of communication, and your actual home life, your fourth house, which home is in your inner core of beingness, and your literal home. And you were born a fighter for causes. Here's a sentence I want to read to you. This aspect in your natal chart indicates someone who has a strong interest in uplifting and regenerating existing social conditions.
How interesting.
Yes, I mean, that sums you up as far as I know you. You are a fighter and you are involved in social issues through radio, through going to the United Nations, through going to foreign countries. There has to be a book about your life. It's so interesting. Your life is 10 times more interesting than mine as far as what you've done.
I don't think so, Jim. I don't think so. I'm sorry. What I know of you is a good book in itself.
Okay, well, thank you so much. This aspect is also favorable, and this is all of Valerie Kirkgaard that I know, for teaching, lecturing, traveling, and the pursuance of higher principles and bringing that to people.
So what you don't know, I think, is that when I went to Merida, Mexico, I actually took my Olympic torch so that I could take it down there because Jonathan Granoff was in Merida, and Merida had just been declared the peace capital of the world. And I was down there with my torch, I had Jonathan hold it, too. And I, for a bunch of really good reasons, including like a hurricane flooding Houston airport, I didn't get down there until the last day of the conference, and the conference was just ending. So I was I was actually trying to get people then before they left the country, because I wanted that peach torch in Jonathan's hands. And I got it there. And not only that, something's happening that Jim sees, but he doesn't really. I learned how to do what I'm doing. I learned how to access the quantum field. I don't always know how the quantum field is going to work. But what I know is that I end up finding friends and being in the right place at the right time to, as Jim was pointing to, actually overhearing Paul Wall be a poop head in the hallway bragging on, you know, how he was going to wipe us all out.
Mm-hmm.
That was all part of the quantum field, in my opinion. I don't want to give out too much information because I don't want to give out all the people that have helped me, but in every single courthouse that I have been in, I have been helped by the clerks who will turn their back to the video cameras and take a whiteout and say, you made a mistake there. You didn't really want to say that, did you? And they'll fix my documents for me because the legal departments of the courthouses are designed for criminals and renters and people that actually own land and actually paid taxes and things of that nature. Their properties are being stolen right and left all over the place. So this is a... this is where the system really picks up a lot of cash. And the particular judge, Jim, that went against me twice ended up down in the Los Angeles courthouse. So when I filed my appeal, he affected my appeal as well. Now, I called the county supervisors to complain about this particular person, Sheila Kuehl, who I actually used to be Dobie Gillis. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Well, Dobie Gillis is now, Sheila Kuehl is now the supervisor of the third district in Los Angeles. When I called their office, I found out that they had three complaints on this judge within 24 hours. However, they couldn't do anything about it, because it wasn't in their jurisdiction, and that's what you run into a lot in government. So how do you get around that it's not in their jurisdiction or whatever? You just have to keep going. If you think something, if there's another Leo dragon out there, or if there's anybody out there that's got this in their chart, do not give up. Because when you stay engaged in the game, the quantum field comes in and it takes effect. You were talking about it, Randy. What I call the quantum field, you were talking about when the universe leans in your direction. Would you share a little bit of that with our listeners? Because there's different ways of looking at it.
Well, for example, and I call it serendipity. Some call it luck.
Yeah, well, your luck gets real lucky when you're in the right spot.
And, you know, it could be someone's down in their luck. You stick your hand in your pocket and, oh, there's a $20 bill. You know, and you think, oh my gosh, it's what luck I just had, or, you know, how the universe, for me, it's all about the mindset and the feeling and the thoughts that you're putting out there. And I say that every single weekend on the show, and I say it every single day in life. And if there's something that's not making me feel so good, I'll leave whatever the situation is. Because I just really don't like to be around anybody that has any negativity at all. So, and pretty much the only time that I really project it is when I get behind the wheel. This guy's going too slow or that or whatever. Yesterday I was driving and it's Black Friday traffic and I actually just had some errands to run. And I pull into a lane and this guy in front of me won't pull ahead and the tail end of my car is just hanging out. So I give him a quick honk, you know, not like a terrible honk, just like, hey, you know, I'm here. And he barely pulled up like 5 inches. And so I inched in a little bit. He still had another 5 feet in front of him. He just wasn't giving it to me. And so I pulled up just a teeny bit and he gets out of his car and he comes raging over to my car and he,
oh, really?
Yeah, my son Benjamin's in the car with me, And we were just having such a nice day, running around, doing some errands. We had stopped and picked up a couple little Christmassy-type drinks. And this guy is raging. He comes over to my car. He's like, "You hit me." And I said, "No, I didn't." And he goes, "You hit me. Your car's touching mine right now." And I said, "No, it's not." And it wasn't. It really wasn't. He goes to the back of my car and grabs my plate. So as he's walking by, I just said, "Is there any damage?" Which there wasn't, because I wasn't touching him. And because there's sensors in the car, and they would totally go off, and there's nothing. And plus, I didn't feel anything, nothing. And this is Miami. Like, you hit somebody, like, even if it's just a tap, it's really okay in this city because there's so many cars. I've hit people, they hit me, and we're like, "Have a nice day. You know, what are you going to do? You're not going to call the law and everything or turn everything into insurance." Anyway, my son Ben goes to get out of the car. I said, "No, don't." Because when I asked the guy if there was any damage, he walked right by and went back into his car, and he drove off. So I don't know if he was just trying to get, you know, I don't know what. Because he left the scene, no witnesses to it, even though there's a million cars. There's no damage whatsoever. And we just kept our good mood, and we just drove off laughing about it because it was kind of a little boss thing going on. "You hit me." "No, I didn't." And I was very calm about it. "You're touching me right now." "No, I'm not." And that was...
You know, you're reminding me of assertion training. In assertion training, what you do is you do broken record. No, and in this case, it was he accused you of hitting him, and you said, "No, I didn't."
Yeah.
And then he would accuse you of something else, and you'd say, "No, I didn't."
Exactly.
And if you read the book, "When I Say No, I Feel Guilty," you will love what Randy actually did without realizing what she did it. She actually created a broken record, and the average person has between 7 and 14 excuses to pursue something.
Mm.
And if you're in an accident, a good thing, especially if you're in California, is to say, you know, that damage was, in my case, the accident was, "That damage was there before."
Mm-hmm.
"No, it wasn't." "Yes, actually, that damage was there before. I want you to call the police." No. "Blah, blah, 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 blah." "No, actually, that damage was there before. I want you to call the police." By the time I got to the seventh round of it, mm-hmm. the guy got in his car and drove off. There are people that are hungry, and they're angry, okay? And I'm going to guess that Randy ran into somebody whose eyeballs were poking out of his head because of something that was going on in his life. And then we get to fire off on each other. But at a certain point, because she'd handle it and said, no, I didn't, and also she had a witness. Did he have a witness?
No witness for
okay,
him.
So he had no witness, and she had a witness, okay?
Yeah.
That guy is not going to bother you.
Well, we actually did videotape his car after that. It was spotless. He was driving a Kia, like a Soul or a, it was S-O-L-L maybe? I don't know. But we videotaped it, and my son zoomed in on the whole back of the guy's car just in case someone showed up at the house later, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that is exactly the sadness about our current reality. Is that she has to protect herself in that nature from people being fired off. And, mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that has fired off a lot of people is our president. And I'm not going to say much about it because I don't get real political on this program, but our mm-hmm. president actually went to Iraq this week. Did you know that?
I think I did see something about it.
Yeah, he went there to celebrate with the troops.
Mm-hmm.
Their accomplishment and their service.
Yeah.
This is about accomplishment and service. This isn't about other particular things. Adam Schiff revealed himself as a tyrant, actually, on national mm-hmm. television, and he doesn't even know how to stop revealing himself.
Yeah.
He keeps thinking if he reveals himself even more that somebody is going to win. Literally, he's putting Trump in the White House. Thank you, by the way, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's also putting himself in jail. And I'm looking forward to that possibility. We'll have to have you at some time do Adam Schiff's astrology, Jim. That'd be fun.
Okay. Yeah.
So as you've been listening to this, Jim, has anything else come up for you or anything that you personally would like to share because it's just such an honor having you here. I cannot believe how lucky I am that you're here this morning.
Well, I don't know if I deserve all that, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
Jim, don't argue with me my point of view, okay?
Right, okay. I'll accept it. Okay. Thank you.
Was that clear enough, Jim?
Yeah, that was a major enlightenment.
It's my point of view, and I get to have my point of view.
No, your speaking today, it just reveals your chart so strongly. The fighter that you are for causes, your own and for others, that I'm just amazed and relooking at your chart and seeing how you continue to manifest it.
Well, let me tell you what I hope you're seeing in my chart, because what happened when I went down to Merida with the Olympic torch and got Jonathan to hold it, and I'll tell you privately a lot of stuff that went on, not because I have any, you know, desire not to share it with our listeners, but simply because it's just like one magical thing after another. That whole thing, I came back from Mexico as the president of three radio corporations and as an Olympic torchbearer from the 84 Olympics, which, by the way, the 84 Olympics, Jim, are the only torches that can be relit.
Oh, wow.
So I'm...
Why is that?
Because they realized that they were creating a monster that people could have their own torches, right, and go off with their torches. So after that, they fixed them so they couldn't be relit. So yeah. I have a 1984 Olympic torch in the first 500 of 3,000, by the way. It's a special torch.
Oh, wow.
And when I got the Olympic flame, now, mind you, all of this is, quotes, the randomness of the universe, except it isn't. Because when you look at the astrology chart, it's all there. When I got the the assignment, I was to go to Santa Fe Springs, and I was to carry the torch between True Value Hardware and Bear State Air Conditioning. That was my link of the journey. Okay, I didn't do anything for that. That was just what I was told to do, and I did it. I didn't have any way of making that happen that way. It was just what I was told to do, was to show up at a particular time in a particular location, and I did it. I didn't even know, and by the way, folks, if you want to send money to help, a lot of my stuff is in Hawk right now. My Olympic torch is in Hawk at the Jewelry and Loan in Santa Monica on Broadway, and there's a whole magical story that goes with all of that, because the pawnbrokers are actually a way better deal than the credit card companies, and on top of that, they're all about value, you know, about the value of something. When you go to a credit card company, there's no value there. There's just, you know, interest rates, late payments, and a lot of theft. You go to a pawnbroker, and they value what you have, what it's worth, and they give you 25% of the value if they accept it as a possible pawn. And it was very magical, because as a child, I used to go into this pawn shop when it was in a different location, because I was fascinated with it. I was like 8, 9 years old, and I'd go to the pawn shop to see what they had. When I actually went to the pawn shop to actually give myself a loan to carry myself through this, because I didn't want to be indebted to somebody for what I was doing, the woman and the man that used to be there when I was a child were there. He wasn't in there, but he still owned the pawn shop. They had been in business all these years. They gave me great deals. They made sure that I got to Mexico. They made sure that I got to Santa Fe. They'd say, how much do you need? It was there that I found out, when they unscrewed the bottom of my torch, that I was torch number 468. Okay, that's huge, out of 3,000 torches. Anyway, I'm in Santa Fe Springs. I want you to get how the quantum field works, because when you're in alignment, it's responsive to you, just like it's been responsive to Randy, and at the same time, she's taking care of things. When I got to the Olympic torch and I started talking about that, when I was in the relay dressed up in my little Olympic outfit, I got, my friends hadn't gotten there. The traffic was so bad. I said, oh, God, I just wish my friends could be here for to be witness to this. A train pulled across the Olympic track relay and stopped the entire relay. Now, I was actually later attacked for having caused something that was, quote, selfish of me. But what happened was when the train pulled off the relay, all my friends were there. I thought that was pretty terrific.
That's so there, pretty amazing.
Yeah, I thought so, too. So here I am. I'm in the Olympic relay. My friends are now here. And who's handing me the Olympic flame is a seven-year-old boy. Seven-year-old boy. You don't pass
That's
the
amazing.
Torch, by the way. You pass the flame. And I'm making a big point of that because I'm willing to come to your location and pass the flame. And that's probably the job change or whatever you see, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to take this torch around and make sure that people step into that flame because it isn't the torch, folks. It isn't the thing. When you pass the torch, you're actually passing a flame that's 2,000 years old, and it stands for world peace. It stands for cooperation between countries. It stands for supporting each other in the best that they have to offer. That's what the Olympic torch stands for, and that's when I stepped out of politics. I will say I want Marianne Williamson to actually be selected for the cabinet of the new president, whoever that is, and I think I know who it is, but I'm not saying that. And that Marianne Williamson actually is head of the Department of Peace and Children on the president's cabinet. That's what I want. And that may or may not work, Jim, because sometimes when I want stuff that has to do with other people, it's just what I want. It's not what their astrology is.
Well,
so
Go ahead. I hope I don't divert too far here. You speak of the quantum field, and you and I, I'm sure we must have seen each other a couple of times over the last 20 years, right? At least.
Yeah, we have. Yes.
You speak of the quantum field, and what I've been doing is studying the ancient scriptures from India from 1,000, 2,000 years ago. I mean, deep study. And, well, I've heard you say the quantum field before, even way back 20 years ago, I believe, right? I mean, you've always have been aware
of it. And
I've
taken over 100 classes on learning how to access it, including one Randy got me into called remote viewing. I want you to know that I have studied a whole bunch of stuff, and what you're talking about, you don't just get to the quantum field without making it possible for other ways for magic to happen here on Earth.
Yes.
It happened for the ancients. It's happened for a lot of people. We've chronicled it. But we acted like it was a thing that had gone by because in that same relay, when that little boy handed me the flame, I handed it over to a Japanese disc jockey. Do you know what happened?
Yes. No.
Okay, what happened was that the Japanese disc jockey was very famous in Japan, and he had arranged to have our image satellite broadcast over the entire world.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So when I handed him the flame, that image was broadcast over the entire known world.
You know, Uranus stands out in your chart.
What is that one for?
Well, it stands for astrology, and it stands for electricity. And I keep thinking of Edison. When I think of Uranus, I think of Edison inventing the light.
I think of urinal, actually, every time you say Uranus, so I have a hard time.
I know. I love that word until one day after being in astrology for 10 years, someone said that to me. They ruined the name for me forever.
I know. They ruined
planet.
They ruined the name for me of therapist. If you ever look at the – I invented a lot of really cool technology as a therapist, okay? But happens, Randy, write down the word therapist and tell me what you see.
Write it down?
Right now?
Okay.
Yeah, just write it down and tell me what you see when you look at the word therapist.
There's someone
therapy.
Who's pissed? I mean, I don't know.
Pissed, yeah.
The rapist. The rapist.
Oh, the rapist.
Oh,
the
rapist.
The rapist. I immediately changed to a consultant overnight.
Yeah,
I looked at it, I saw the rapist.
Yes, yes.
I couldn't do it.
Huh?
I couldn't be the rapist. I,
oh,
I even as an accident, I couldn't be the rapist.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I've been raped myself. Yeah, I was not about to turn into somebody to rape somebody else.
Yes, yes.
So our lives are governed by things just like what Jim's talking about and what Randy's talking about, what I'm talking about. I saw the rapist, and I said, I'm not doing this. Goodbye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, looking at the quantum field, I don't want to lose sight of this thought. For me, I call it the matrix. And through my studies, I think there's a direct correlation. I call it consciousness. So you've got the quantum field. Does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah.
Matrix. So I see.
Yeah, totally. Kevin, how do you pronounce his name? You know, the guy that did the Matrix? Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, Keanu Reeves.
Oh, Keanu
yes.
Reeves, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
I thought he was right on it. You know, what pill are you going to take?
Yeah, Neil. You know, Neil, the one leading, the light, the chosen one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, in the future, I see some great conversations combining those two ideas but different words, and I'm looking forward to speaking to you more about the quantum field.
Yeah, and at some point I'd love to have Randy travel too and be part of it, because Randy,
it isn't one
point of view. It's a number of points of view looking at the same thing, and it's kind of like the elephant story, where you have you have 20 people looking at an elephant, and one of them is feeling the trunk, and the other one's feeling the horn, the tusks, and the other one's got a hold of the tail, and they're all trying to describe the elephant.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. And that's what we have to bring together. So this is what you can't be making. We can't be making other people wrong, because in making them wrong, we're saying our opinion is better than yours, and it's not. It's just a different view.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And a lot of views are determined by what actually happened to a person, especially if they grew up in an alcoholic family. People in alcoholic families learn to, like, walk around on eggshells, like, no kidding. You could die if you step on the wrong eggshell when you're in an alcoholic family. Or a father can shoot a mother, or a mother can commit suicide, or a child can end up in the gutter or at a doorstep somewhere.
Yes, yes.
We have the intelligence, and we have the connections, and we have the trainings, and we have the products, too. Landmark Education, I've taken over 100 courses there, and that's not the only place. Major Ed Dames, honest to God, Randy, what was the thing you were doing with Ed?
Well, he was just doing what he had said at the time was his last hurrah, and he was just basically throwing up every scrap of information he could, and he literally went till 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
It was supposed to end at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
It did not.
And, by the way, the guy was a practicing alcoholic, okay? Now, I'm telling you this on purpose because I want you to get that that didn't stop him. That probably made him even more courageous in a way. But part of the reason that he was a practicing alcoholic was that the information that he was dealing with, which didn't show up in Randy's seminar, because I took the room. Randy got me 2 tickets to the remote viewing seminar, and St. Vincent and I went, okay? And in that seminar, what we learned is that Ed's job for the FBI was finding out where dead babies went. Babies that had been murdered, okay?
Yeah.
Wow.
And frankly, I would have probably been drinking a bottle of wine myself that night.
Mm-hmm.
Any night.
Yeah.
Because what he actually would go in to find out what happened to the children. And he'd find out stuff like they had been ground up in garbage disposals and things like that. To get rid of the evidence. The evilness that he lived with on a daily basis, and the more you listened to him, the more it got after 10 o'clock at night, the more you heard about what a family man he was, and the more you heard about his own personal losses with the people that he loved. And in his case, he said, I was remarkably intuitive, but he would never have me on his team because I had too many emotions. Literally, we had a room of over 80 people that he showed us how to get into the quantum field. He showed us how to do that. He showed us to start reading instincts and things of that nature. And there was a man there, by the way, Randy, I don't think I ever mentioned it to you, he had been in prison for like 20 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In some foreign country, and he had actually, quotes, figured out remote viewing from his prison cell. And he was one of the sharpest people in the room, because we would be given four numbers, and when we were given the four numbers, we were then asked to describe the location, and the numbers had been randomly generated. So I ended up in a battlefield with people running around screaming, crying, and dying, and I was crying, I was bawling my head off. And Major Dames comes to me, and he goes, what did you see? And I told him what I saw, and he said, well, he said, you're extremely psychic, but unfortunately you couldn't be on my team because you're too emotional. And what they had done was train themselves, quotes, not to be emotional, which is what the alcohol was doing for him, was so that he wasn't looking at it emotionally, so that he could actually stand the fact that he was watching children. He could actually be in the moment of a child being ground up at a, I don't even want to say it again.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
It's awful, but that man did that for us, and gives me chills to this day, you know,
yeah.
What he was willing to do for us. And he told us the difference between the Russians and the Americans. He said the Americans are, we actually remote view and we actually go after the information. He said the Russians actually rely on psychics, which means that they pull it in, they pull the information in. So the American Army, he's a major in the American Army, they were actually going in there, and they went into the all the hordes. They went into all the hordes that were in Taiwan, things of that nature. They go in teams, and they go in as experts. So there's just stuff here that's happening on planet Earth, that if you're dragging your bums to work every day or trying to get through the traffic or holding somebody off, there's forces that are working for you, and I want you to know that. We're here to work for you, and we're working very hard for you, and it's our pleasure to do so. And Randy and Jim are part of that, whether they're aware of that point or not. And the gratitude that I experience for hearing from CW this week, who was my co-host before Randy came along, the man sacrificed his life and lost his voice for a number of years. I want you all to know that CW has his voice back, and you'll be hearing more from him. And I just want to say thank you for being here, all of you, for being here. We've got 3 minutes. We've got 3 minutes, Randy. We got Jim. Take a minute and say something you want to say.
Well, it's just so good to you know, I used to be on your show eons ago, and it's so fun to be here today and listen to you. And Randy, meeting Randy, what a wonderful person that is also. So I look forward to connecting with you more. This is wonderful.
Those are the words I wanted to hear. Randy, you got a minute.
I'm just proud. Well, first of all, great to meet you, and interesting everything that you had to say. And Val, I'm just so proud of you. You have guts like not too many people that I know, and you just throw all that out there, and all you ever do is guide people towards a real path to greatness and prosperity. So I'm glad everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and let's go into December.
Yeah, you bet. I want to thank my family and the people in my life. We had the best Thanksgiving ever. The best. Not better than any other one, just the best. It was like I could say that about the day. Everybody was in different places, okay? My first husband actually had a physiological reason that was very justifiable about why he couldn't be in court. He's 86 years old, and he was willing to get in his car. And he's been married to another woman for 37 years. And Lon Kirkgaard was willing to get in his car and drive down here until physical circumstances are limited. And I won't go into what the details are. The point being that even though we're separated by telephones and space and things of that nature, as Jim said earlier, we're all connected in the heart. And if you can remember that we're all connected in the heart and that we're here pulling for you, and that I'm really appreciative of the grandiosity of what Jim had to say about who I am in the world, because I plan on living that destiny, and I really want to thank Euphoria for that. And you really should check out Valerie Kirkgaard with two A's at Euphoria, euphoriascience.com. That's valeriekirkgaard.euphoriascience.com. And check out and find out what this DNA match stuff is, because it turns you into a Superman or a Superwoman or a super kid. So we've got 30 seconds left. Yay! We're going into December, and we're going to have some major fun, and I'm going to have to find out what I'm going to lose, too, because maybe it's something I don't want to even spend my time on, Jim, so I'll talk to you later. Thank you so much.
See you all next month.
You betcha.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, you dudes.
You're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through. Now your heart is open.